Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us here this Sunday evening, November 3rd, 2024. And the time has changed here on the East Coast. We're still here at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, but we're back. We left the daylight savings time, and we're back on the actual time. Okay. So everybody should be well rested with that extra hour of sleep. And it's I don't like the time change yet. I wish they just leave it alone. And
I don't know if that will ever change, but
I don't either. But you know, there are some states in the United States that don't change their time.
I believe Indiana is one of them.
Yeah, and I know that I believe Arizona is another one. And you know, I have some folks that I keep in touch with in Australia. So they're springing forward and we're falling backward. So that puts us 2 more hours apart. So the ones that we were 14 and 15 hours from, it separates us tremendously. It's hard to keep up. But we want to welcome you to the program, and we want to give thanks to Ray Powers for allowing us to be able to be here each and every week for all of these years, and for keeping this program on the air. And we're grateful to you, the listener, who have, because you are listening, that keeps us on the air too.
Right.
Because they look at those numbers.
Well, you know, what's encouraging to me is so many people want to know what the Bible says.
Amen. It is. And you know, when we look at the numbers in the world, how many people there are, few people really want to know.
Right.
They're curious. But it's unfortunate that there are few that really want to know and make those changes. But we're just grateful that you're here listening and want to hear these things. The Bible can change your life.
Yes, we have a billboard that says that.
Yeah, it says this. Read this book.
It can change your life
forever.
Forever,
yeah. Isn't that beautiful? And it can, because the things that are written in this book give us eternal life through Christ Jesus. So, Ed, tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, would you please?
Yeah, we're a little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia, in the Shenandoah Valley. We started approximately around 2012. We purchased some property in 2015, and now we just have this little church here. We have Wednesday night prayer / Bible study time at 7 p.m., which is available via Zoom. Mm-hmm. And we have our church service on the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath, which is Saturday. And we have a Bible study at 9:30, which is streamed live on our website. And we also have our worship hour at 11, which is streamed live too. The Bible study on Sabbath is also available via Zoom as well.
Yes. And if you're listening live, for the past week or so, we've had some issues with our streaming. It'll look a little different if you tune in on a regular basis. We're working on that because the platform that we were streaming through, somebody bought the company and everything has changed and they didn't get their technology straightened out early enough.
Right.
So it's not just us. It's everybody who uses that platform is having issues right now, from what I understand.
You know, as part of our ministry, we've been doing this for a number of years, is we have billboards throughout the community. And this may sound strange as a form of ministry, but there are people that do take notice. I was working out in the gym the other day, and a guy saw Colossians 1:26-27 on my shirt, the mystery of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he said, "Can I ask you about your shirt?"
Wow.
Yeah, and so, you know, I said, "Yeah, this is what you find in the Bible." And he says, "Not, you don't see that very often."
That's true.
And then he asked me, "Well, where do you go to church?" I said, "Well, this little church in West Beverly Street." And I said, "Prophecies of Hope." And he said, "Oh, I've seen your billboards."
Isn't that something? Wow. Yeah.
And yeah, so I said, my favorite one, this is my favorite one. We have one up right now. It says, "What is right? What is wrong? Who decides?" And then we have a picture of a Bible.
Mm-hmm. And that has got, that gets a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Because of people have to drive, the speed limit is 25 there, and it's hard to do 25 because it's a congested part of town.
Yeah.
So, and now with the construction that's going on, people have to sit there sometimes and wait. So they're just looking at this big, bright billboard. Yeah.
And I hope people read it and consider it.
I do too. Yeah. That's the whole purpose, you know, to get people to, hey, you know, what is right? What is wrong? Many times we try to make that decision ourselves.
Right.
And there should always, every decision we make, you know, when I came to understand that God's commandments were still for me as a Christian, I had to plan my life differently because the Sabbath is a day of rest.
Right.
So my whole week, every decision I make about my scheduling revolves around that Sabbath day. Mm-hmm. And you might say, wow, that sounds like a lot of trouble. No, it's not. I look forward to that Sabbath day. It's almost like a vacation built in every week.
Yeah, you know, you like to say, Mark, that people have such a hard time with the Sabbath, but the Sabbath is about resting and not working. It seems like no one wants to work today. So
that's true. So you'd think they would really enjoy it. But, oh, speaking of construction in that construction zone, you may hear from time to time during this broadcast, you might hear some little bit of work there. We've had some gas lines, some issues with the infrastructure in town here, and they're working on the gas line. So you might hear some, I don't know what they call it, concrete saws and jackhammers. Yeah. You might hear them working.
Yeah, there are a couple of buildings down from us right now.
Yeah, so hopefully it won't come through, but if it does, now you know why.
Right.
So that's just a little bit about Prophecies of Hope and some things that are going on here, and we're going to get started in a Bible study right after Ed opens with a word of prayer.
Yes, let's go ahead and bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for your word, the Bible, and for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. May you send the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Mm-hmm. May you give us wisdom and knowledge to understand the things we read about in your word today. And, Father, may you guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, we've spent a lot of time in the Sermon on the Mount just looking through it piece by piece, looking at the different headings and the different topics that Jesus spoke about in the sermon.
Right, and this is in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7.
Yes, and we're in chapter 7 right now.
Right.
So in the past weeks, last week we talked about how Jesus would say the words to those who aren't listening, I never knew you.
Yeah.
And I just want to bring this up because this kind of lays a foundation. Right before we started this broadcast, we were talking about how people just simply want to live their lives the way they want to live them.
Right.
I'm no different.
Right.
I'm no different. I mean, I have to be honest with the folks here. I have tendencies that are not what God wants them to be, right? There are things in my life that I realize I have to change these things and I can't do it myself. And we were talking about how do we overcome?
Right.
And so I don't want to have my life in a position where if Jesus comes back today, tonight or tomorrow, that he says, I never knew you.
Right. You know, when God brings those things to our attention, it's an opportunity that God is bringing to us to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to follow him and his son, Jesus Christ, and allow Christ to work change in our life? Or do we just want to continue with what we want to do? There's a gentleman I've known for years who has a saying, people are going to do what people want to do. You know, and is that what you're going to do? Is that what I'm going to do?
That's so true. Are we going to follow the will of God or follow our own will?
Right.
Even Jesus had his own will, and he prayed that not his will, but his Father's be done.
Right.
So why I bring this up is because today we're going to talk about these verses that speak about building on the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when we think about the rock, if the rock is Christ Jesus, does he reflect his Father's character?
Right.
Does he reflect it in every way, or is it just in some ways? Because what often comes up, and this is what Ed and I were talking about before we started here this evening, is so many times I run into people that say, well, you know, the Bible is just confusing to me because this God of the Old Testament was this God of wrath and vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Jesus Christ, who's this loving and kind man that came, and it seems like two different personalities.
You know, people don't understand when Jesus is asked by Philip, show us the Father. Mm-hmm. He goes, how long have I been with you? You know, why do you say show you the Father?
Right.
Because Jesus only spoke the words that his Father gave him to speak. And people are amazed by his words. They said, no one speaks like this man. No one's ever said anything to us before like this man does. The miracles he did through the power of the Spirit of his Father.
Amen.
He did the works that his Father gave him to do.
Right. Absolutely. And so people look, this is what we discussed. So many times people will hear what someone else says about God.
Right.
And look at how he did this in the Old Testament. Well, not everything is recorded for us. But we have enough information to know that the things that were taking place in the Old Testament, the people were so rebellious, they were so vile, they were so disobedient, they were in the face of God knowingly doing wrong things over.
God's judgment occurs.
Absolutely. There are consequences to the things and choices that we make.
It's not just at the end of the world his judgment occurs.
That's right. And it's not just in the Old Testament that his judgment occurs. There are choices that you will make this week that you will make that will have consequences far down the road, whether good or bad. So the choices that we make so many times dictate what's going to happen in our life. That's what it is. And so when we talk about this God of the Old Testament, it's the same God in the New Testament.
Yeah.
And Jesus came to represent that God.
Right.
And here, why do people not see this, what we studied last week? Jesus, who represents his Father, says, I never knew you. Get away from me.
Yeah.
They don't read those. They think, well, that's the God of the Old Testament speaking. This is God's Son speaking. Mm-hmm. He's speaking the words of his Father.
Right.
But everybody seems to they look at the love of Christ, and then they look at his Father like he's this old, crotchety old man, you know?
What does Jesus say in John 3:16? He's talking to Nicodemus. He says, for God so loved the world, talking about his Father.
Mm. Amen.
God loves you. He loves me.
Amen. And he gave his Son.
Yes.
You know, any one of you who is listening who is a father or a mother, could you give your child for someone who you knew was not going to love you?
Yeah.
But Jesus came for each person, and we have a choice to make.
Right.
So let's get started in a study about building on a rock. What do you think, Ed?
Sure. Let's read Matthew chapter 7. Mark, if you could read verses 24 through 27.
Sure, and I'm reading from the New King James, and these are the words of Jesus here.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 7, beginning in 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall.
So when we look at these four verses, the object or the subject being talked about here is, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. What sayings of his? The ones he just talked about in Matthew 5, 6, and 7.
Yes.
The Sermon on the Mount.
Yes, absolutely.
Whoever hears them and does them, he likens them to a wise man who builds his house on a rock.
Amen.
Believing the rains are coming and the floods are coming and the wind is blowing. And if you're not founded on that rock, Jesus Christ, you're going to be swept away. You're going to be deceived.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you think about, I mean, this is a beautiful illustration because anytime you build something, you want it on a solid foundation.
Yeah.
If you've ever been to a city like New York, it is on literally built on rock.
Okay.
Manhattan is literally a solid rock island. And when you go down into the subway and you see that they had to drill through this stuff, and there are buildings over top of you,
mm-hmm.
and you're under this ground. So they knew that building on the rock not only gives the building stability, but the ground's not going to move. So we have to be well-rooted, we have to be grounded, and we have to grow in the confines of what God has given us. He says, this is what I want you to do. You can do it and have eternal life, or you don't have to do it, and you'll die for eternity. Right. You just won't exist.
Right.
I can't live in any... People say, well, that's cruel. I had somebody recently say, so I can either do what God wants and live, or not do what he wants and die. And yeah, it's just that simple.
Right.
If I want to live in a community, if I choose a community to live in, I have to live by the laws of that community. And if I don't, there's going to be consequences.
And those consequences are written down.
Yes, they
are. You're informed of those consequences.
In every community, in every town.
And so God has done the same thing. He's informed you of the consequences of not being obedient to his law.
That's it. You don't have to, you can choose to not be in God's kingdom.
Right.
That's your choice. And the beauty of it, you have a God that loves you so much that he gives you that choice. And it's not the God that a lot of Christians believe is going to torture you and keep you alive forever. Right. He allows you to die. You will suffer whatever punishment he gives you, mm-hmm. but you will die. You will not suffer forever and ever. You just won't know it's happening.
Right. Where you won't exist anymore.
Right, just like we didn't exist 100 years ago.
Right.
And I didn't know what was going on. I can only reflect back on it. So building on the rock, Ed, you were telling me, I remember you saying a long time ago, there was a fellow that always said that. What was it? He would say, you got to fall on the rock or something.
Yeah, you got to fall on the rock. Like, what does that mean, fall on the rock?
People say these things, don't they?
So it means putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Allow him to change you. You talk about being broken by falling on the rock. That means giving up what I want to do to be obedient to what God wants me to do.
Yes.
And that's what only can be accomplished through Jesus Christ. So when we fall on the rock, when we build on the rock, we're talking about placing our faith in this gift that God has given us in his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. And, you know, we go back through the patriarchs and prophets of old. There were a lot of people who did these things, who mm-hmm. believed in Christ, even though he hadn't yet come to earth.
Right.
They believed him. We can find that in Hebrews chapter 10, don't we? Were you going to share
Hebrews
something?
Hebrews 11.
11. I said 10, didn't I?
Yeah.
Please.
Let's be real about life. I want to go to, you find Hebrews, and I'll find Jeremiah chapter 17.
Okay.
And remember, Jesus came to represent his Father. He came to speak the words of his Father to the world.
Yes.
And this was prophesied in Deuteronomy 18. And Jesus did the works his Father gave him to do, those miracles he did through the power of the Spirit of God. So in Jeremiah 17, 7 through 10, it says this. This is the modern King James Version. It says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in Jehovah, and Jehovah is his trust. Mm-hmm. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. It sends out its root by the river, and it shall not fear when the heat comes. But its foliage shall be green, and is not worried in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, Jehovah, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give each man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings."
Hmm.
Put your trust in God.
Amen.
Let him work in his life through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So if you listen to your own heart, the Bible says your heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked.
And you know, it doesn't say here that I search the heart so that I can punish people.
No.
He searches the heart so that he can reward you according to what's in there.
Yeah.
Well, if I have Christ in my heart, what's my reward?
Yeah.
You know,
the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
That's it. You mentioned that before we started, the shirt that you were wearing.
Yes.
It's that very message.
Yeah, the mystery of God. This is Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 to 27, which was hidden from the ages, has now been revealed to the saints, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Which is the only way, friends. I know we say this a lot, but people tend to hear things, but it doesn't always sink in. How many times have you heard a phrase or a commercial and you say, I don't even know what that commercial is about?
Yeah.
The same thing happens with the Bible. We'll read something and we know the words, but we don't think about the words.
Right.
And so this is why we do a lot of review. This is why we read Romans a lot, because Romans isn't just about telling you that you need to overcome, but it tells us how
right.
we can do it.
It's really as much a part of the gospel as the death of Christ is.
Yes, and that this is important. You don't just, you know, a good teacher doesn't just tell the person what to do. They demonstrate it.
Right.
They show them. And that's what Romans does. It shows us how we can do this. And because if we depend on ourselves, we're going to fail miserably.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
I can give witness to that.
Yeah.
That's been my experience.
You have a personal testimony that you've experienced this.
I've struggled with things in my life, and I'm going to do better. You know, I want to be obedient to God. And I try on my own, and I'm successful for a little while.
Right.
But sooner or later, when the pressures of life gets strong enough, then you fail.
Yeah.
I wasn't depending upon Jesus. I was depending upon myself, my own abilities, my own goodness.
So let's just take a moment. I do have Hebrews 11 here, but this is important because I know that people will say, well, what does that look like? How do I depend on Jesus? And they might say, I've never met Jesus. I don't know this Jesus. How do I depend on somebody that I don't know?
I don't know how you can do that. You can't depend on someone you don't know. You have to know Jesus Christ.
You have to know him. And how do I get to know him?
By reading God's word. It tells us all about him as well as about God.
Yes, it does.
You know, one of the things that the Bible talks about also is you can know God himself by his creation, by what we see around us, the trees, the birds, the flowers, the mountains, the rivers, the lakes. We can see that God has created these things. We can see that he created them because he loves us.
Amen.
And it just proves to us his love and his power and his authority in our life.
And really, it gives you a sense of the type of God we worship. If you were to be here in Virginia where we are, especially this time of year, it's fall here and the trees are beautiful.
Yeah.
If you were to drive up on the Blue Ridge Parkway or the Skyline Drive.
I was up there yesterday.
Were you? And you look at the colors.
Yeah.
You don't look at those colors and think, I'm angry. You have a feeling of peace.
Oh, man, when the sun shines through those leaves,
amazing.
They just glow. They just light up, and you can see all these different colors. There are some trees that are mainly one color, but there are other trees that are a variety of especially maples, yellows, and then the tips of the leaves are red, these deep, dark, brilliant red. And when the sun hits it, it's just glorious.
It really is. And so it gives you a feeling of awe. Yeah. And peace and comfort when you see it's beautiful. And it's just like if you go to the beach and you're in clear water and you can look down and see the different color fish swimming along. And this is the God that we worship. He put these things here for our pleasure.
Yes.
So that we could enjoy them. And he doesn't want it just to be 70 or 80 years worth of enjoyment. He created us to live for eternity.
Right.
We read that at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount.
Yes.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Right.
And Jesus said that in his prayer. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled.
Yes.
Yeah.
So these things are not, it's not just a dream. It's a reality. And we can have a part of enjoying that blessing right now in this world, believe it or not. No matter how much turmoil you may be in, no matter what you may be suffering emotionally, physically, whatever it is, mentally, however it is, God can give you peace if you just simply read his word and just pay attention to the things that you're reading and trust that he can help us.
Another way for knowing Jesus and his Father, Jehovah, is by talking with them.
Yes,
what absolutely. We call prayer. Prayer doesn't have to be some formal thing. You can talk to God at any time. Pray in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. We're mm-hmm. told to do that. And tell Him what you're feeling. Tell Him about your struggles. Ask for help. And He will help you.
You can cry out to Him. You know, I've prayed to Him when I was just desperate and just saying, I can't do this. I can't. But you're going to have to do this right. for me. I've said that.
Yeah.
And in some ways, I was kind of angry.
Mm-hmm.
But God will hear you. You can tell Him what's on your heart. He knows what's in there.
Yes.
So you're not
yes.
going to fool Him by choosing crafty
right.
or slick words to
yes.
try to...
Sometimes it's more about being honest with ourselves
right.
than with God.
Right.
Because God knows what's in our heart. And whatever there is in there that you don't like, that you want to change, He can assist you with it because He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. to experience the things... Experience life as we experience it.
Amen.
And He overcame sin. He lived on this earth. He was made in all ways like His brothers. He was tempted in all ways like we were, yet without sin. So now He can help me and you in your time of difficulty.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 2 talks about He can rescue you in your time of need.
Yes, He can. And some of these things, it might be something you want to get out of your life. It might be something you don't want to get out
yeah.
of your life. And you can ask Him, and it's not easy, but you can say, hey, if there's anything in my life that I need to know about, show me. Get it out of my life. So
and you know
I
what? It also
you.
Takes faith.
And that brings us right back to Hebrews
yes.
11.
We have to believe that God is and exists and that He sent His Son.
Absolutely. So Hebrews chapter 11, this is what most Christians understand and know. This is a chapter of faith, and it goes back and points to a lot of these people in the Old Testament. I'll just start here. Maybe we can discuss this as we go through. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen."
Okay, that's a good description of what faith is. You have something that you are hoping for, but there's no evidence that it can happen.
Right. Yeah, you've never seen it yet.
Yeah.
And how do we build that faith? Well, you have to read God's word and see how He's helped others. We see this.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's a demonstration to show us how much He loves you, the listener. So it says, "For by it," that's by faith in verse 2, "the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." And then it starts talking about some of these folks. Did you want to read a little bit, Ed?
Sure.
Verse 4?
Sure. This is the King James Version. "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." Now, there may be some people that don't know these names.
Yeah. We can talk about these a little bit.
Yeah. Cain and Abel were the first children of Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Adam and Eve were the first humans on this earth. And right away there was a conflict between them. Abel obeyed God and offered unto God a sacrifice for sin, but Cain brought forth his own works, the works of his fruit of his doing. He was a gardener. He grew fruit and vegetables, and he brought those as offerings, which weren't acceptable to God. So this is what it's talking about in verse 4 of Hebrews 11. By faith...
Yeah, I was just going to say we can find that in Genesis chapter 4.
Yes.
That gives you that account of Cain and Abel, and you can read about it.
And what
it.
Happened, Cain murdered his brother Abel.
Right.
"By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh."
Hmm.
"By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Enoch lived before the flood happened on
yes,
the earth.
Yes, he did.
"But without faith," verse 6, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's why we say, if you want help from God, you have to believe that he exists, right, that he is who he says he is.
Right. Examine things. And, you know, there's a lot of people today that believe in this theory of evolution.
Yeah.
And I don't know how anyone can draw that conclusion if we just think a little bit, because there's nothing that we have, nothing, you know, I'm just looking around the studio right now, mm-hmm. and I see a laptop, and I see a mixing board, and I see a computer screen, and microphones. And
all these run on materials taken from the earth, different minerals, and gold, and silver, and...
Yeah. God put all these elements in the ground.
Right.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
And they're all there for us to use for our benefit and to his glory.
Yeah.
So you think about this. These things, we were talking about going up on the parkway or going to the ocean. You know, my wife and I went to Myrtle Beach a couple of weeks ago, and it was just so nice. Mm-hmm. And just watching those waves, just, you know, they weren't big, but just watching them, and it's constant. Mm-hmm. It never stops. And those things make me appreciate a creator. None of these things happen by chance.
Right.
There's nothing, you know... Right now, I have headphones on. If I told you these things just popped out of the ground one day, they were there, everybody would laugh at me.
Right.
But they say that about us.
Look at the human body. If you know anything about the human body, it's complicated. It's so complex how it works, how different organs interact with each other. And it's just, how can that just suddenly exist?
And Ed, you were telling me recently, we were talking... and about babies being born and what a miracle that is.
Yes, when I watched my children being born, I could feel my mouth wide open, my eyes popping out of my head, how fantastic a thing this was.
Yeah, I mean, it is, it's miraculous.
Yeah.
And none of these things are possible without God and his Son. Because all things, all created things were created by the Father through the Son. And, you know, just I want people to think, because there are many people that will listen and say, yeah, but how do I know I was created? Look, I've cut myself. I've been working, you know, I'll work on a car or something, and I'll cut my hand and won't even know it. You know, I felt it, but mm-hmm. I'm just, and sometimes I don't even feel it. And I look down and I say, oh, wow, I cut myself. My body has already started to heal itself instantly. What device does man make that fixes itself?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing. And the more we use it, the faster it wears out. But the body, you know, as we work, we become better fit, and we get our muscles get stronger. God is a tremendous creator, and he's the master recycler.
Yeah.
You know, think about it, the way he recycles the water.
Your skin cells are recycled on a regular basis.
Yes. And my understanding, Ed, you being a physical therapist would know this better than me, but my understanding is that every 7 years our body regenerates its cells, that the cells are regenerated. I've read that in a number of places.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the numbers and everything, but yeah, your body tries to heal itself.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it's amazing. And a thought, how do you have a thought? You know, we try to mimic that with a computer and this thing they call artificial intelligence these days. But really, it's just, it only knows what the person puts in it.
Yeah. Right. I don't know if you know this, but man has made a map of your brain.
No, I didn't know that.
And they know the exact areas of your brain that performs what function.
The different tasks.
Like the part of your brain that's responsible for movement, muscle, mm-hmm. it's called motor, sensation. There's an area in your brain for sensation, like touch, you know.
Thinking is the frontal lobe, right?
Yeah,
reason.
It's where you make decisions,
right.
Yeah. And your vision is in your occipital lobe,
okay.
The back of your head.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's all, I mean, it's not detailed extensively, so you can pinpick this specific neuron does this.
Right.
But the generalized areas of where things occur, and it may vary a little bit from person to person,
mm-hmm.
Like, for example, most people, their speech center is on the left side of your brain.
Okay.
Those people that are left-handed, it can be found on the right side of your brain.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, what if you're ambidextrous?
Well, you can use both hands. I don't know. You know, but just there are things that men, kind has found out about how the brain works. It's very complex. It's the network of neurons is just unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah, I can't imagine. And these are things that God knows intricately.
Right.
He knows every detail. In fact, this is why it's so important that we have a relationship with God, because every thought that we have is recorded in heaven.
Yes.
Everything, even every secret thing. That's what Ecclesiastes 12 tells us.
Right. That's why it talks, God will reward us according to our works.
Right. And so these men of old that we're reading about here in Hebrews, you might think, well, it was probably easier for them to have faith because of the time period they lived in, and they could see God working. I see God working today.
Yeah. You know, it's, I don't know what it was like back then, but they sure didn't have what we have today.
They don't. They didn't. Right.
You know, verse 6 of Hebrews 11 again says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Basically, faith is believing what God says, and God's words are recorded in the Bible. God's actions are recorded in the Bible. Jesus spoke the words of his Father. If you want to know who God is, read the Bible. If you want to know who Jesus is, look at the life he lived on this earth. Mm. And by the way, Jesus was active in the Old Testament too.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
All things were made through him, so he was there in the beginning when God said, let us make man. He was speaking to his Son.
Yeah. So let's continue reading in Hebrews 11, verse 7. Again, this is the King James Version. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So, even though there had never been rain before, and there had never been a flood before, God told Noah these things, and Noah believed them, even though these things had not yet been seen. And he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And actually, anyone could have been on that ark, but no one desired, no one believed what Noah told them, God said to him. So, because of their unbeliefs, the world was condemned. And he became heir of the righteousness, which was by his faith, by his belief in God. You know, belief, faith, isn't just knowing something and believing it so. It's acting
action,
on it.
Right. That's what
Noah
is.
Noah acted on his faith. He did what God told him to do. He believed God. And it was counted to him as righteousness.
And a lot of the times, the faith comes from what you have seen in your past.
Yeah.
Like, how many of us would say, well, the sun's not going to come up tomorrow?
Yeah.
I think everybody would say, no, the sun's coming up. Well, how do you know? Because it's always happened. Well, you have faith that the sun is coming up tomorrow, you see. So that's something you've seen it demonstrated in the past, but you haven't seen it tomorrow yet.
Right.
So it's something you haven't yet seen that you know will occur.
Right.
This is faith. And just as sure as I know the sun is coming up tomorrow, I know that Jesus is going to come back.
Right.
And I know that God has a plan of salvation that he put in place to save every human being if they will accept it.
Right.
It's just that sure. And other people might say, well, I don't have that. But you can.
Yes. You can, but not just because you will it, but because you develop a relationship with God and his Son. You can see them working in their lives. You read about them. You can see where things in the Bible have come true.
Right.
Building your faith. Verse 8 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he was going.
Mm. That takes faith.
How many of us do that today? You pack up all your belongings and you hit the road, not knowing where you're going.
Yeah, that takes a lot of faith.
Yeah.
Believing that God's going to put you where you need to be and provide for you what you need.
It continues on. Verse 9, by faith, he's talking about Abraham, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in their tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. It's interesting that God gave the promise to Abraham, and he also gave it to Isaac, and he also gave it to Jacob, this promise of salvation.
Right.
Through you, all the nations will be blessed.
That's right. And we see that through Christ,
yes,
all the nations can be blessed.
Right.
Right. So there are lots of types in the Bible. And the only way we can know these things, friends, is if we open it and read it. It's so interesting. And yes, there are a lot of things that we don't know that are unanswered, but we keep searching and seeking, and we get answers every day.
Right. In verse 10, it talks about Abraham, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Again, Sarah is Abraham's wife.
Mm-hmm.
God promised that through Abraham, his descendants would be as great as the sand of the seas, as the stars in the sky.
Right.
Yet they had no children.
And they were getting old.
Sarah was 90, Abraham was 100.
Yeah.
And yet it says here that Sarah also received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him, talking about God, faithful, who had promised.
Hmm.
That's a lot of faith.
That is.
Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, talking about Abraham, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sands which by the seashore innumerable. These are the descendants of Abraham.
Yes.
Abraham is the father of more than one nation.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
People may not know this. The nation, the lineage of the Jewish nation, of the Jewish culture, the Jewish people, are through Abraham.
Yes, they are.
The lineage and the culture of the Muslim nations are through Abraham.
Right. So the ones from the Islamic or Muslim side are from Ishmael.
Ishmael, a son that Abraham had with Sarah's handmaid, because they hadn't received the promise yet.
Lacked faith.
Yeah, he lacked faith then and took into their own hands trying to make God's promises come true.
Yeah.
But that's not what God had said. It was to be a descendant of Abraham and his wife Sarah.
You see, this goes right back. Everything is tied together, because we were talking earlier about sometimes we want to do our own thing.
Yeah.
And that's what Abraham did.
Right.
And as a result of that moment of weakness and following what his wife said rather than doing what he knew God wanted him to do, it has caused turmoil in this world that just will never be settled until Christ comes.
Look at verse 13. This verse 13 is so important. All these names we've mentioned so far, they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country, that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly.
Mm.
Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. God had declared to him his promises, yet they had not received them by the time they died, but
right.
Still they had the faith in that promise.
And that's what has happened to many Christians over the years.
Yes.
They have faith in a promise that God has made. They haven't received it yet.
Yeah.
We haven't received it in its full form yet.
Yes, Christ coming again.
Right.
Heavenly city.
Yes, absolutely. So what did all of these people have in common when I look at this? And that is that they built on the rock.
Yes.
They had a solid foundation, and they knew that there was a Messiah that was going to come.
Right.
In their day, the coming of the Messiah to this earth was in the future. In our day, his first coming is in our past.
Right.
But we're looking for another coming, aren't we?
Right.
Which gives us that heavenly.
You know, let's skip forward to Hebrews chapter 12.
Okay.
You know, there are other names and examples given in Hebrews 11. I invite you to read that.
Mm-hmm.
And not all those lives were successful. Many of them were put to death. They were sawed in half. They were tortured. They were killed. But still, they had faith.
And you may be surprised at some of the names that are in here when you read through it, right, if you know anything about their lives.
Yeah, Rahab, the prostitute.
Right.
Yeah.
So it really shows the love and the mercy that God has.
Yeah. How lives can be changed.
Absolutely. And this is that Old Testament God that we're talking about.
Yes. Let's look at Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, talking about all those people that were mentioned in Hebrews 11, the stories of their faith.
Mm-hmm.
Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus,
Amen.
The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Hmm.
Now, I invite you to read Hebrews 12 and 13, those chapters, but I want to, you know, people say, how do we do this?
Right.
How does this occur? This is telling us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. How do we do that? We look unto Jesus, the rock of our salvation.
Yes. You know, we still have some time, Ed. So what we're trying to do is establish, this is what it looks like. This is how I build faith. This is how, you know, I can reflect on what these folks did and look at their lives, and then I can apply these things in my life.
Right. Here we're talking about running a race. Why do you run a race? To get the reward at the end.
That's right.
The trophy, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But they run it with patience because Satan's bombarding them with temptations and difficulties in their life, trying to get them to doubt God, trying to get them to follow his way of living life.
Right.
And so we're told to run it with patience, even though it's difficult. Why? Because we're looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Hmm.
You know, just like the people in Hebrews 11, they died without receiving the promise.
Right.
We may die before Christ comes.
And
but doesn't mean the promise is not true.
Absolutely.
We'll just receive it once Christ comes again.
Yeah, we will be, according to 1 Thessalonians, if we die in Christ, we're going to be resurrected at the second coming of Christ.
Right.
We'll be caught up in the air, right? Or resurrected and taken up. And then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air. That's why we close every program.
Yes. If we don't see you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.
Amen.
And that is our hope for everyone.
That is our hope. And that's God's hope for everyone. He wants all to come to repentance.
Yes.
And what does it mean to repent, Ed?
Repentance is not only sorrow for the sin that's occurred in your life, but it's the desire to turn away from that sin, to remove that sin from your life. That's what repentance is.
But I have this inward struggle.
Yes.
You know, there's this thing, there's this part of me that I know I want to repent, but how do I get there? How do I get to this point to where I can do it? Where does that take us in the Bible?
Well, you sound like Paul in Romans chapter 7.
So that's what's happening to probably everybody who listens to this.
Yes.
We all have this same struggle, that this godly man that God used in a mighty way, that had the same frailties and weaknesses that we do, while Christ overcame, we have an apostle who was struggling, even though he met Christ.
Right.
He was still struggling.
He lives the human life. And let's go to Romans 7 for a few minutes.
I think we have to. I think we have to, because we can't just leave this open-ended. We're talking about building on the rock. This is this is the very part of building on the rock that's important today.
In the first verses of Romans 7, verses 1 through 6, it talks about the law of God and how when a husband and woman marry, that they're should be married until one of them has died. If they're divorced, it's called adultery when you marry another.
We discussed that some last week.
Right. And so he's talking about this law. And so in verse 7, can you read 7 through 12?
Sure. It says, Romans 7:7, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would have not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.'"
Okay, so just like when you go into a different country, mm-hmm. and you're driving down the road, you need to know the law.
Speed limit or the, yeah.
And the way you're supposed to drive in that country.
Right.
And it's possibly different than what you're used to here in the United States.
It may be.
And you need to know the consequences of those laws when you disobey them.
Sure.
That's all Paul is saying here. The law tells us what sin is.
Absolutely. And just simply doing those things will prevent us from sinning.
Right.
But the problem is, I don't want to do those things.
Right.
So verse 8 says, yes. "But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good."
So Paul is saying sin, you know, sin originating with Satan, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, is what the King James
says.
Yeah,
it uses a strange word there, doesn't
what
it?
What was it saying?
What verse was that you were
That's
reading?
That's 8.
In verse 8 it says, I'll just read the whole verse. It says, "But sin, taking opportunity by a commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire."
Yeah. "For without the law, sin was dead." Mm-hmm. So we don't know what sin is without the law. So in other words, without the law, you have no sin because
right.
we don't know what sin is.
It's like a mirror.
Right. You know, look at what he says in verse 11. "For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, the commandment is holy, and just and good." Paul is not saying there's anything wrong with the law.
Right, it's holy.
He said Satan took advantage of the law.
Yes, he did.
"And caused the law to be death unto me." Why? Because the wages of sin is death. Sin is breaking God's law. Let's keep going. Can you keep reading in
sure.
verse 13?
Sure. We have about 4 minutes, Ed.
Okay.
So it says, "Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what am I doing? I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that is good. But now it is no longer I who sin or who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For," this is verse 19,
okay.
"For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present with me, one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin."
So he's got this war within his body, within his mind. He's experienced this law of sin that dwells in each one of us. It's unfortunately our inheritance from Adam and Eve.
Yes.
Yet he knows that the law of God is good and holy, and he calls it spiritual.
Mm.
So now he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? How can I overcome this?
It's difficult.
Yes.
You can't do it on your own.
No.
He realizes that.
Right. And the answer is in Romans 8, but we don't have enough time.
Well, why don't we pick up next week?
Yeah.
And, you know, we have about a minute, Ed. And,
okay, let's read verses 1 through 4.
Go ahead.
Romans 8. I'm going to switch to the Modern King James because that's what I'm familiar with. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Remember, the law is spiritual.
Right.
But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, that law of sin that he finds within him. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, notice there's nothing wrong with the law, it's the weakness of the flesh.
Right.
God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
There you go. So we have to walk in the Spirit.
God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Christ, who was tempted in all ways like we are, yet without sin.
Maybe in the weeks to come, we can talk about walking in the Spirit a little bit.
Okay.
And just really sound that down. We are out of time already. And friends, I know we moved fast through some of these things, but we'll pick up again next week right here, Lord willing.
Yeah.
So let's have a closing word of prayer, okay? Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you have given it to us so that we can know you and your Son. And Father, help us to make choices. Help us to make decisions according to your will and not our own. Please help us, Father, to be changed by the Spirit of Christ dwelling in our hearts. And help us to recognize our need for Christ in our life. So we ask for your blessing upon us until we meet again. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Ed, thank you so much for the study. It's really good to be here this evening. And friends, we hope to see you here next Sunday right here on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.